It's around a 2.5 hour shiur tonight. I'll try to do it in around an hour and a quarter or so. An hour and 20 minutes. It's a long shiur. There's a lot to talk about. A very, very important inyan. Talk about time. Parshas Bo, Hashem gives us the ability. Parshas Bo, Hashem gives us the ability to control time. It's a wonderful gift that we don't use properly. Hashem gave us the koach that the Jewish people are the balabatim over time. The Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aaron v'arish Mitzrayim le'mor." Now try to listen carefully from the beginning. It's the kind of an inyan that if you relax for 10 seconds, you might lose it. It's not a simple inyan. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe v'el Aaron v'arish Mitzrayim le'mor. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen in Mitzrayim to give over a mitzvah to the Jewish people. Hachodesh hazeh lochem rosh chodoshim. Tell the Jewish people to sanctify the moon. To proclaim Rosh Chodesh, the beginning. Rishon hu lochem lechodesh hashana, that it will be the first month of the months of the year. The simple pshat in the Rambam, if one looks carefully at the ninth parak of Hilchos Malachim. If you study the Rishonim carefully, it becomes very clear to you that this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah of sanctifying the month, the moon, that this mitzvah is not part, in any way, is not part of the ma'areches, of the framework, the system of the seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. It's not part of that. Something very radical has taken place with this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, where we're no longer dealing with the mitzvahs of the Ovis, of the fathers and the mothers, of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov and Sarah Rachel, Sarah Rivka Rachel and Leah. We're no longer dealing with the mitzvahs of Bnei Noach, of the children of Noach. You look in the Rambam there in Hilchos Malachim, it's not even counted among the mitzvahs Yeseros, the additional commandment that Amram was commanded in Mitzrayim, the father of Moshe. Something new has taken place. Something new and revolutionary has taken place with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, with the mitzvah of proclaiming, of determining the months of the year, the new moon. This was Klal Yisrael's entrance. This was our ticket into the world of Torah. Our first exposure to the Torah was still in Mitzrayim, when we received this mitzvah that is one of the Tayag mitzvahs. Of course, it would be permanently engraved within the hearts and soul of the Jewish people at Har Sinai. But for reasons that are extremely mysterious, which we'll try to talk about now, Hashem chose in His infinite wisdom this mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of sanctifying the month, the moon. Hashem chose to reveal this to the Jewish people while they were still in Mitzrayim, while they were still in Egypt. And that this is the beginning of the mitzvah Satar. Whoever studied the Rashi at the beginning of Chumash knows the Rashi asked the question, why does the Torah begin with Bereishis? It should begin with HaChodesh HaZelochem. It should begin with the mitzvah of the new moon, of the months. So we understand from Rashi that the beginning of the world of Torah as a as a book of commandments, of tzivuyim, of mitzvahs Hashem to the Jewish people is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of proclaiming the month. And that was given Davke in Mitzrayim. So why is that? Why is that the first mitzvah? Why did it have to be given while we were still in Egypt? Why couldn't it wait till Kabbalah Satara like the other mitzvahs, or to wait till Mora, let's say? Why was it given while we were in Mitzrayim? An astounding revelation is made in the Mishnah in the second parak of Eidias that you should look at. What I'm going to say now is the Ravid's explanation of the Mishnah, which is very famous, very, very difficult. The Ravid's explanation of the Mishnah in the second parak of Eidias. The Mishnah there tells us, that there are two time frameworks when we're dealing with the Yetzias Mitzrayim, or the end of the Golus of Mitzrayim, or the exile of Mitzrayim, which Chazal referred to as two kitzim, two ends. A kitz means an end, like the word miketz, nesayim yom. There are two kitzim, there are two times, two completions, two ends. The first says in the Torah of Avodum, V'inu Osom Arba Me'el Shon, in the covenant with Avram Avinu, Hashem told Avram Avinu that the Jews are going to be enslaved and they're going to be oppressed for 400 years. And you all know that the Cheshbon, how it's counted from Yitzchak Avinu and so on, Hashem in His compassion found a shorter way to reach the 400 year period. So that's one case, one end. One ending of Golas, stated clearly in the Torah, in the Pasuk, V'avodim v'inu osam arba mea shana. When Avram was told that that your children are going to be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. That's Kates number one. And the second Kates, as it's explained by the Rav there in the Mishnah, the second Kates is Dor Revi Yashuvu Haina. Dor Revi'i Yashuvu Haina, that the fourth generation is going to return to this land, meaning to Eretz Yisrael. From the time of the Ovis, the fourth generation is going to return to this land. So listen to what the Ravid says. Even though Hashem has declared there to be a kates, an end to the slavery, a conclusion, an official conclusion to the exile of Egypt. That Kate is called the Kate Hashonim, the end of the years of slavery and exile. Nevertheless, the Ravid tells us, as far as the Toivos and Nechomas are concerned, as far as the wonderful blessings are concerned regarding the presence of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael regarding our return home and all of the promises that Hashem has made to our ancestors being kept, as far as that's concerned, Bias Haaretz, so there the Ravid says that does not depend upon the Kates Hashonim, it does not depend upon the end of the years, meaning the 400 years, but that is a separate Kates, a separate ending, which is not measured by years, but it's measured by generations. As the Torah says, Dor Revi Yashuvu Haina, that the fourth generation shall return. And as it happens, the Ravid shows us that there was a discrepancy between these two figures. As far as the years of Golus are concerned, they ended, of course, when we left Mitzrayim. And that was the completion of the first period, which is called Kates Hashanim, the end of the years of exile. There were 400 years counting from Yitzchak. There were 400 years, and that ended the moment that the Jews left Mitzrayim, that ended. So that's the first stage of redemption. It's the conclusion of slavery. However, the Ravid says, the second case, the redemptive case, The case of returning would not, of course, be until after our years of wandering in the desert, correct? It would only be, as the Ravid says, by the generation of Yehoshua, by Doro Shel Yehoshua, because he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits even after the years are completed, even after the case of Shonim has already arrived, the end of the years of Golus has arrived. Nevertheless, Hashem does not reveal His promises, His goodness, His kindness, and His love in full redemption until the generation that is seen fit appears in the world. And that was the generation of Yeshua. And the Rabbi concludes with the following words, V'chein li Moisa Mashiach. So it will be in the days of Mashiach. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem will redeem the Jewish people, and Hashem soon with Mashiach, lo yikonsu miyad la'aretz, we will not enter immediately into the land. Aval yoylich osom l'midbar ha'amim. K'nevuas Yecheskel perek chof. If you look in the prophecy of Yecheskel in the 20th chapter, we are told there, in a clear vision of the Novi Yecheskel, that the Jewish people are going to be spending a certain amount of time at the end of time, after Golus has ended, waiting in the Midbar Ha'amim, in the mysterious desert of the nations of the world, waiting until we come back into Yerushalayim with Mashiach Tzidkenu. So the Ravid is saying an astounding thing. I mean, that's how he's learning pshat in the Mishnah. If you look in the Mishnah, it's a good pshat. He's saying an astounding thing. There are two kitzim. There's the end of Golus in years, and there's the beginning of redemption in generations that are measured by generations. Which generation? And that depends on the generation that's worthy. We have, Baruch Hashem, seven words from the Vilna Gaon to explain this. Which is, I say Baruch Hashem because that's much more than the Vilna Gaon usually says about things. We have seven words from the Gra. And the rest of the time will be to try to explain these seven words. These are the words of the Gra. Explaining why is there such a thing as two kitzim, a ketz of shonim, the end of the years, and a ketz of doros, and the end of the time of the generations, a generational end. So these are the words. Mipnei she'shorish ha'kilkul bizman, because the root and source of kilkul, of ruin and decay and destruction. The root and the source of ruin, of decay, of destruction is bizman, is in the world of time, which is measured by years. Vishorish hatikun, and the root of the rectification of man's fixing all that is ruined because of time, the root of that is ba'adam, in the human being. Which means the generations. The worthy man, the worthy generation. Again, listen to the words. The Goyin says, Nesha Shorish HaKilkul Bizman, the root of all tsaras, of all misery, of all suffering is Zman, time, which is measured by Shonim, by years. And we beg Hashem to end the years of Golus. For the Jewish people and for each individual Jew. And the Shorish HaTikun and man's ability to correct all that has been ruined in time, the source of that is Ba'adam in the man, which means the generation. A generation obviously focuses on the generation of Yehoshua, the generation of Mordechai and Esther, the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu. But the human being is the tikkun. Let's understand the Gro. And our Madrega. Let's try to understand what the Gro is teaching us. It says in the Pasuk in Koheles, the kol's man. For everything there's a time. Ve'eis l'kol chayfetz tachas ha-shamay. And there's a season. There's an appointed season for all things under the sky, under the heavens. L'kol zman, for everything there's a time. Ve'eis l'kol chayfetz tachas ha-shamay. So the Medrash tells us in the third parak, the Medrash in Koheles explains. We once spoke about this in a different context. The Medrash says in Koheles, "L'kol zman ve'es l'kol chayfet zman hoylo l'odem harishon sheikonos l'gan Eden." There was a time that was set for man. Hashem established a time for Adam, for Adam and Chava to be in Gan Eden, for Adam to enter into paradise. Zman hoylo sheyetzim isham, and there was a time that was set for him to leave there. That itself is frightening. We once spoke about that. That indicates that there was something sabotaged from the very beginning, because the Medrash Chazal said there was a set time from the beginning of creation for him to enter into Gan Eden. There was a set time for him to leave. Who said he had to leave? Okay, that's not what we're talking about now. So there was a zman to come to Gan Eden, and there was a time to leave. And it brings Pesuk. Zman hoyel olo Noach, she comes to Teva. Then the Medrash says there was a time for Noach to go into the ark, into the boat, and there was a time that was set from the beginning for Noach to leave the boat. And there was a time for Avraham Avinu to do this, and a time for Avraham Avinu to do that. And different times, there's a whole list of times, of zmanim. And Hashem says, a kol zman. I established a set time for all these things. Don't think it's haphazard, stam. It didn't happen, stam. There's a set time. A kol zman. But this is what interests us most. Listen to this now. Ve'es l'kol chayfetz. So after l'kol zman, we make a big comma in the pasuk. L'kol zman. The problem is that if you grew up listening to the song, l'kol zman ve'es, so you don't have a comma. Really, the song should be l'kol zman. Ve'es l'kol chayfetz. But that's how it goes. When songs, you have to make sure that they rhyme properly. So, ve'es l'kol chayfetz tachas ha-shamayim. There's an appointed season. Ve'es l'kol chayfetz. So what is that referring to, the appointed season? Ve'es. Aleph Sof. Ve'es l'kol chayfetz tachas ha-shamayim. Zman ha'yish etinosin hater li'Yisrael. There was a time, an appointed season. The Torah was supposed to be given to the Jewish people. There was a time, there was an appointed season for that which used to be above the heavens, above this world, to descend from its place above the world and to enter into the realm of this world, which is Tachas HaShemayim. So, there's an appointed season for all that was desired by Hashem. That is referring specifically and singularly to Nesinas HaTorah, to the giving of Torah. So because of this distinction between Zman and Eis, we have a Chiddush from Maharal. Listen carefully to this Maharal. The Maharal speaks about this in a number of places, but the place that you should look if you have a chance is in the 25th chapter of Tiferes Yisrael, which I can only say now very much bekitzer, and really you need to look into the 25th parak of Tiferes Yisrael. He talks about it in many other places in this forum. If you look in Netzach Yisrael chapter, Perchav Zayin in Netzach Yisrael, This is an astounding yisod. The Maharal writes in Tiferes Yisrael that the definition of the kol zman, for everything there's a time, zman, in Hebrew, time. That the word zman, the Maharal teaches us, and he has such wonderful, amazing proofs for this, the best proof is this medrash, that the word zman always refers to something in the realm of physical existence. That everything in physical existence has a set time and a place and so on. Adam going into Gan Eden, Adam leaving Gan Eden, the world being the flood taking place and the end of the flood, even the midst of Avraham Avinu getting a milah, which is brought down there in that medrash, as the Maharal explains, the Barichas and Netzach Yisrael and other places, and the Nesivas also, the Nesivas Olam, that a mitzvah is also, and the Tiferes Yisrael too, that a mitzvah is also a chelik mehaelma, is a part of, it's a physical act in this world. But the word zman, the Maharal says, always relates to something that takes place within the realm of physical life. Why? Ki haguf nofel tachas hazman. Because physical life is bound by time. Time is a byproduct of physical existence. When physical existence came into being, time necessarily came into being. And that's, by the way, how the Vilna Gaon teaches the whole Baruch Shemar, Baruch Ha'isa Bereishis, and so on, if you look there in the Siddur of the Gra. However, Kabbalah Satorah, receiving the Torah, that's a different thing altogether. The Torah, the Maharal says, is not part of the physical world. It was given to the physical world. But the Torah is Adorah HaSichli, which in the Maharal's unique language, Sichli means Ruchoni, means something spiritual, transcendent, above this world. Something that is not limited to the rules and regulations of physical existence. So since Kabbalah Satorah is sichlis, it's a spiritual event that's taking place in the realm of the spirit and not in the physical world, therefore the Maharal says it cannot be included in the general category of lakol zman. It cannot be included in the category of zman, of time, because zman is a byproduct of physical existence. Therefore, it is included in the second half of the pasuk in Koheles, ve'eis l'kol chayfetz. Why ve'eis l'kol chayfetz? Ayin sof, ve'eis l'kol chayfetz. Because the Maharal says that eis, aleph sof, is from the word atah. Ayin tof hey, atah. And Atar means now. It means this moment. It means the present. And the Maharal writes, Ki ha'ato shehu mechaber ha'ovar v'ha'osid eino zman. That now, this moment that I'm in, this thing that's called Ato now, is not within the realm of measurable time. It connects, it is that point in between the past, the Avar, and the Osid, the future. Ki ha'ato shehu mechaber ha'avar v'ha'osid eino zman. And he goes on to explain a little bit later. Ki ha'dover shehu muskal she'eino nofel tachas hazman hu na'aseh ba'ato. Stamral says, therefore, that which is not physical, that which is in the realm of the seichel, which is a davar hamuskal, something which is spiritual, does not take place in the realm of zman. It is not enslaved. It is not under the control of the past or the future. I'm going to explain this in Mitzvah. It is not from the past or the future. It's not lakol zman. the Torah which is sichli, which is transcendent and spiritual, was given ata. The ace l'kol chayfes tachas ha-shamay. The ace, the ata, means it exists in that, in the continuous state of now. It lives and it breathes in the world of ata, now. Let's understand. That's the morel. Let's understand. The moral is saying that the past and the future is in the category of Zman, of time, and that the present is not. That's what he's just said. Only the past and the future fall into the category of time, but the present, that's not called, that is a special word, that's called Ace or Ata, Ace l'kol chayfetz. And that is the domain of Torah that is not constrained by past or future, by time. It lives in the present. Let's understand on our madrig, on our level. I mean, every single word in the Maharal is Sisrei Torah, or secrets of Torah. Let's just try to understand on our madrig what this means. Anything that's in the physical world, before it's become, before it's there, it isn't. It's not there before it's come. It's not there before it's happened, right? Whatever's in the physical world, if it hasn't happened yet, in other words, the future of something means that it's not here now, correct? It's not here now. It's in the future. Its Zman hasn't arrived, yeah? It will be. Maybe, maybe not, but okay, even if it's very predictable, but now it isn't. It will be. And the past also isn't. The past also isn't. It once was. And that time has passed. And whatever it was has diminished and gone. It's disappeared. That's why it's now in the past. It's something of the past. What they both have in common, what the past and the future have in common, is that they simply do not exist now. They don't exist. It's something that will be. So no, it will be. So it's like a piece of property someplace in Florida, you know. It will be. Or it's something that was. It's a very beautiful memory. You could reminisce all you like. But they both have in common is that its zich is not here now. It's not here. It doesn't exist. You could talk about it. You could dream about it. Reminiscing and dreaming. But the past and the future simply don't exist. They don't have an existence. However, Eis l'kol chayfetz tachas ha-shamayim, the present tense, ata, ayin tov hei, it is. It is. It is, and it always is. The present is continuously present. It never ever stops, even though it's true that there can't be a present without a past and without a future. And the Maral says it's the Mechaber. It somehow links together the past and the future. Mikomakom, nevertheless, the present exists before the future. And the present exists after the past. That means that it's always here, because those are the only three possibilities. The present is here before the future, and it's here after the past, and there's no break in between. Unless you live in the twilight zone someplace. But if you're a human being in this world, that means that you're living continuously in the present, in the present tense. Umimela, we can understand what the Maral's teaching. On our madrega, on our level, we can understand. That which is spiritual and transcendent, which is the Torah, that which cannot be held within the grip of physical life, and it defies time, It laughs at time. It doesn't care about past and future. We understand that the word for the Torah is ve'es l'kol chayfetz. The word atah, now, the Maral says, relates specifically to the realm of the seichel, which means of the spiritual, the transcendent, to the world of Torah. Whereas the gashmi, physical things, when it comes to physical things, everything in the physical world, it either is something which is waiting to become, waiting to materialize, or it's something that it was once here and it's no longer here. It's only the present, only this moment is Chai V'Kai. The moment, every single moment of my life, I live in the present tense. Therefore, since the Torah does not depend upon years that have gone by and years that will come, it doesn't depend upon the weather, it doesn't depend upon age and climate and so on, all other factors of physical life, because the Torah is a Torah HaSichli that comes from above the heavens. Therefore, it's a Bar Kayama. It is forever. It is. It always is. In the world of Zman, I'm spending a little bit extra time on this only because it's very important that this be understood. In the world of Zman, in the world of time, there's sunrise and there's sunset, there's beginnings and there's ends. Everything in the world has a sunrise and a sunset. There's anticipation and then there's a memory of something that once was. But the now, this moment that I'm in, is Yotzev V'Kayim. It's standing, it's with me, it's here, it's alive. And so it is with the Torah which is Sichli. That's why Chazal tell us that Talmidei Chachamim calls Man Shemaskinim Talmid Chacham, that the older Talmid Chacham becomes, the older Talmud Chochem becomes Daito Mitzyashevus Alav, the more his mind becomes attached to Torah. Whereas all other things in the world that are not attached to Torah, the older they are, the more they deteriorate, the more they begin to disintegrate and leave this world with time and with years that pass. But the Talmud Chochem is not subject to the disappearance of things that take place within the realm of Lakol Zman, of time. And the greatest man of Torah, the one who brought us the Torah, was on such a madrega that he was a chefza shel Torah, that he was Torah itself. And therefore the Torah tells about Moshe Rabbeinu that on the day that he died, his vision wasn't dimmed, and he wasn't old. He wasn't trapped in time. The one who was a sichli, you look at the Hakdama, look at the introduction of Rav Meir Simcha to the Meshech Chochma and Shmos, you'll understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was not under the control of the Olam HaGashmi of the physical world. The one who stood on the mountain didn't eat or drink for 40 days and nights and learned the whole Torah. His eyesight didn't dim. His strength didn't weaken. In other words, Zman had no effect on him. He lived in a different way. He lived in a different dimension called Ace. He lived now. And in that world of now, of Atta, of Ace l'kol chayfetz tachas ha-shamayim, there's no deterioration and there's no hopeless dreams and memories of things that will never be. So let's come back to the Gra and understand that on at least, let's understand Aleph. When the Vilna Gaon says, Shurish ha-kilkul b'zman, v'shurish ha-tikun b'odim, that we see from Chazal, that Hashem, we see from the Torah, that Hashem has told us that there are two kitzim, there are two ends to the golus of Mitzrayim. There's the end that's measured by years, by time, and then there's the end, the redemption entering into Eretz Yisrael that was measured by the human being, by generations, not by years, but by generations, the generation of Yeshua. There's the Kate Shonim and there's the Kate Doros. Years and generations. So the Gross said, the Vilna Gaon taught, the reason for this is, because Sherish HaKilkel B'Zman V'Sherish HaTikun B'Adam. The root of all misery, of all kilkel, of all destruction and ruin is in time. And the source of rectification and repair to the kilkel of time, to the destructive energy of time, the cure to that is found ba'adam in the human being. So what does that mean? The reason that a person feels emptiness, and there's not a person here that hasn't felt that at times, the reason that all of us are subject to that terrible sense of emptiness, it's because that we live through periods where we're very, very sensitive to that ever-present feeling of helem, of chisaron, of something in the future that hasn't yet happened. I plan on getting married. I hope to have children. I hope that my children, now that I have children, I hope that my children will be properly married. I hope to have a parnasa. I hope that tomorrow will all be healthy and well. The future is nothing. It's mamish a dream. It's just a hope. Expectation. So we must make ourselves that we strengthen our expectations and hopes. But sometimes it strikes you that it's not here. The mice, I don't have it. So all the wistful hopes for the future that haven't materialized or that they're not here right now, that causes terrible sadness in this world. And then you have this sadness of things of the past that are no longer here. I once had children. I once had a husband. I once had a wife. I once had parents. I once had happiness. I once had a panas. Things of the past are no longer here. I once enjoyed a certain friendship. I enjoyed being in a certain yeshiva. I enjoyed being in a certain home, whatever it was. So the whole world is filled with two types of tears. They're the tears of Mi yiten lonu es ha'osin. Ay, halavai, halavai, it'll already be tomorrow. Tomorrow, it'll be better. Halavai. Tomorrow will be better. That's why halavai, the letters Eliyahu. Tomorrow will be better. That's one kind of crying. The other kind of crying is gevalt. You know what I once had and I no longer have? You know what was once here? You know what it was once here. You know what I once enjoyed, I once experienced, I no longer have. All of these things of the past that have been sacrificed on the altar of time, and all of those things of the future that haven't become and might not ever become. That's the kilkel. That's what the Gro is talking about. That's the kilkel. That's the desolation and ruins. Man, time. Time. It takes away what once was and it gives false promises of what might be. It doesn't give me now. That's man. And what's the tikkun? And what's the takona? How is that corrected? But Adam. Adam means that the human being has within him, a human being who's not a behemoth, a human being, an Adam, has a seichel eloki, has a godly soul. The Adam of Yisrael, the man of Yisrael who was given the Torah, the one who is attached to the Torah, lives in a continuous state of now, of this moment, of what's special, what's precious, and what's and that which is, which unifies and joins and gives meaning to all the past and all the future, is the one who is dovek to the Dover HaSichli, which is the Eis L'Kol Chayfetz Tachas HaShemayim. There's an appointed season for all things under the heavens, which means the Torah to be given. I mean, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim. So he says, "V'zel l'chah os ki anochi shlachticha v'tziyacho es ha'omir Mitzrayim ta'avdunis elukim la'har hazeh." Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go and tell these people who have been wasting away, who are, all they do is think about it, what they used to have by the office, it used to be good. And that they're hoping that maybe one day it will be good. Go and tell those slaves, those broken and miserable people, go tell them that I'm going to give them the Torah soon. They're going to have the Torah, to look forward to the Torah. Because the Torah is the ticket out of the wasted, of the forgotten past, the lost past, and the hopeless future. The Torah is the takona. The seichel of the person who is Isaac b'Torah, the Jew whose life is a life of Torah, of thinking Torah and living Torah, that Jew lives ato now. The male, you understand that there are two kitzim, there are two ends. The first one is v'avodim v'inu osam arba me'ashana, that the Jews are going to be enslaved and oppressed for 400 years. That's called the Ketz HaShonim. Look what happened to the Jews, 400 years. Look what time did to them. Time took proud people. Time took the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and made them into degraded and lowly slaves of the lowest kingdom of the world. That's what time did to them. So Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, your children are going to be slaves. V'avodim v'inu osam arba me'oshana. And the years of slavery will end. That's the first case. But then there's a second case. V'dor revi'i yashuvu heina. There's going to be a generation of mekablei haTorah. And this is the tikkun. There's going to be a generation of Jews who live in a world that's always hayom, today. With each day having its meaning. Not our dreams of, it used to be. Oh, it used to be good. Nebuch, you go to a nursing home, you talk to people, and you have these people, they sit there with their pictures all day, telling, I used to be this, it used to be that, and when they were there, what did they look at? When they were 20 years old, they used to look at pictures when they were 13, and say, oh, it was good. Like everyone who sits around here, we think, you hear an old song, you say, oh, you remember that, it was so good. And when you were there, you were thinking, oh, is it going to be good? Oh, it's going to be so good, because now it's terrible. So the second case, the second end, which makes every moment happen, it exists. That's the case of Dor Harvi Yeshuvu Heina. The tikkun is ba'adam, the way to overcome the destructive force of time is ba'adam, with the adam ha'Torah, with the person of Torah. The Mela, now we can understand, why is it that Hashem gave the beginning of Torah, the Torah began. The process of Nesinas HaTorah, of the giving of Torah, began while we were Mitzrayim, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's when Torah began. And the deeper meaning of that is, because Yetzias Mitzrayim, the end of the slavery meant the conclusion of the Ketz HaShonim, it meant the conclusion of that miserable period of our lives. 400 years, it's in the past, finished. That's the case, done. 400 years are over. That's the Ketz HaShonim. And immediately, Hashem gives a mitzvah to the Jewish people. Not just the mitzvah, we'll see which mitzvah. Hashem gives a mitzvah to the Jewish people. He begins to give Torah in Mitzrayim. The same Besorah Tova, the same good news that frees us from the misery of the shonim, of the years of slavery, The same Besorah Tova contains within it another message. The message is, I'm beginning to give you Torah now. Because Torah means an opportunity to find redemption from the misery of time that you've just been through. Because without Torah, it makes no difference if you're not enslaved to Egypt. It would make no difference even if we wouldn't be in Egypt. So people are meshubadim to a million things, they're slaves. Who's not meshubad? Who doesn't spend his whole life craxing about what used to be and dreaming about what will be? But right now has nothing. Nothing to live for. So Hashem, when He told us it's the end of Golus, He gave us that first glimpse of what we could become, of what we have, of what could be, of what will be. And He gave us the first mitzvah of the Torah. He gave us there in Mitzrayim with the same Besorah of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's a new period in the life of the Jewish people. It's the period of the Torah HaKadosh of that which was above Shemayim is given down, is now being delivered down here below Tachas HaShemayim. We understand, therefore, that's the reason why that the first mitzvah of the Torah, the first mitzvah in that new tkufa of Torah, in that Torah that was given at the end of the years of Golus, we understand that the first mitzvah is Kiddush HaChodesh. In other words, the process of Nesinus HaTorah begins with that one mitzvah that more than any other mitzvah means the Jewish person's ability to master time, to laugh in the face of time. The beginning of the tikkun, the correction, what the Vilna Gaon was saying, the geul, the redemption that comes with man's conquest of time, man's escaping the past and future. That begins with the unique mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. How is that? We understand on the simple level. Let's understand on a level that goes to the very depths. Once again, from the Vilna Gaon, Baruch Hashem. You're looking at Deres Elio on Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis. The Vilna Gaon begins by reminding us that we have a certain code that Chazal revealed to us, certain words that have to be understood a certain way. Chazal teaches that the word in Hebrew, Vayehi, like Vayehi b'Mech HaShveirosh, and it was, that the word Vayehi always means Tsar. And when it doesn't, so there has to be an explanation. But the Derech Klal, the word Vayehi means something, it's no good, something bad. Vayehi b'Mech HaShveirosh. It's not good. And that the word Vahaya, and it will be, always is a lashon simcha. Always means something that's joyous and wonderful. So let's focus on that. Vayehi, and it was, means something that's tsar, that's no good, that's sad, that's terrible. And vahaya means simcha, something which is joyous. So, because this paragraph is so crucial, I'm going to read it to you and translate it as I go along. If you have the Deres Elio, you should look there. But listen to the Vilna Gaon. Now here it's a paragraph, Mamish. Now he explains why is this, that the word Vayehi means something which is sad and terrible, and the word Vahaya, and it will be, means something which is good. If you take away the vav, just the word yehi, yud hey yud. The word yud hey yud means something that's going to be in the future. The word yehi without the vav has so much, it's filled with promise and hope. The word yehi, it's going to be. Yehi means it's going to be. But then what happens? And then the letter Vav, the Vav Ahipuch comes. And it violently, it tears, it rips the word Yehi out of the future and throws it back into the past. No? Yehi means it will be in the future. Vayehi. You put the Vav Ahipuch and all of a sudden, all that was going to be is thrown back into the past. That's Vayehi. Umilas Hoya, the Goyen says, the word Hoya, just Hoya, without the Vav. Hey, Yud, hey. Umilas Hoya, Moira al Ha'Ovar. The word Hoya, just in its simple state, means the past. Hoya means, Hoya means it was. It's something of the past. And what happens when you put the Vav? Va'ois Vav Mahabcho el Ha'asid. Then the Vav comes along to the word Hoya, something that it was of the past. And again, in the most violent and wondrous way, you add the letter Vav, which is the Vav Ahipuch, and it catapults, and it projects, and throws that which was supposed to be finished, Vahaya, and it throws it into the future. The word Haya means past. Vihaya means it's going to be. Vihine, another going explains, listen. Vihine, Yechayev HaSeichel Shlo Yidog HaAdam B'Yisatzev Al Dvarim HaNiknim K'moy HaOysha. Him Lai Nikni Lai Miyomav. He says the nature of a normal person is that he doesn't worry about what it's like being a millionaire if he was never a millionaire. He doesn't worry about things, like you don't get up in the morning thinking, boy, what happens if today I'm appointed the Commissioner of Atomic Energy? You don't think like that unless you're a Meshuggah. He says, and also a common person doesn't worry about al-hasmanis al-maluchi. He doesn't wake up in the morning and think, what happens if I'm appointed king? I'm simply not equipped. I'm not prepared to be king. In other words, it's b'chlal not, why should I worry about it? It's not b'chlal in the realm of his life. It's not shayach to him. Efes yidov liboy beheder kinyono. Aye, so what does a person cry over? He doesn't cry over the fact that they never told him, asked him to be king. He doesn't cry over the fact that he is not of these kind of things that a b'chlal not shayach to him. What does he cry over? So the Goyen says, Efes yidov libo beheder kinyono. What a human being cries about is he says, I was once king, and I'm no longer. I was once a millionaire, I'm no longer. I once had this, and it left me. It's when you had a shaykhis to something, when it was yours, and it slipped between your fingers, and it's gone. That's the tsar of the world. L'chein kol mokim shenemar v'yehi hu amirish neshapech olo v'lomo. Dvorm haru'uyim loylios. Look what happened to the word vayehi. Look what happened. You have the word yehi, and yehi means it's going to be, it's going to be. In other words, this is something that was supposed to continue. I was a millionaire my whole life, and I'm supposed to be a millionaire tomorrow. Yehi! It's going to be tomorrow also. But what happens? So he says, when you take the letter vav and you put it to the word yehi, then it comes out vayehi, v'nedru mimenu. Something that was supposed to continue into the future. I was supposed to continue having a child. I was supposed to continue having a parent. I was supposed to continue forever in those things. And then it's taken away. It disappears. And then what happens, the word vayehi, the vav ahipuch, takes that which was supposed to continue into the future. And what the vav does, it makes it into something that once was. Vayehi. It was supposed to continue yehi. But the letter Vav says, no, it's not continuing. It used to be. It's not going. It's done. Vayehi. It changes it to something of the past, a memory. Avol v'hoya. But the Goyen says of the word v'hoya, Moira la kinyonim shiruyim lias begeder over. The word hoya without the Vav means, it's something that I once had, but I'll never ever have again. It was. Hoya means it was. So you've given up on it. You're not going to dream about it. It's finished. What can you do? It's a memory. But then you put the letter Vav there. And when you put the letter Vav to the word Haya, and you make it into Vihaya, that means a Lashon Simcha, Chazal say. That's a great and joyous word, the word Vahaya, because there's something that you thought that you'd never see again. Something that you thought that is gone, that's finished, that's of the past. Haya is a word of the past. When you put the Vav Ahipach to it, it says Vihaya, and it will be. The word Vahaya with the Vav makes it, it will be. It's not gone. It's coming back. It's returning. That which was Haya, that which was finished. When you put the letter Vav, it's Vihaya. It's going to be. So the Guardian says, Uloshen Simcha. Why? He says, Amara, can Yonim Shiruyim Leis Begeda Ha'arav and Adarmi Man? It was something that it's Haya, it was. Ephes, Haya, then he says, Ephes, Yula Hepech, Vanasla, Kinyona, Begeda Ha'aiva. That when you add the letter Vav, then you have it back, and it's going to be with you the rest of your life. Vahaya. Huloshen Simcha Q, Simcha Hachleiti, because this is definite, this is clear Simcha. Why? Because what's the greatest joy in life? Ki Erech, the Goyin ends and says, Ki Erech Yom Mishnais Chaim, Chiyesh Yomim Sheinim Shel Chaim, Ela Eilish Shnoisim Shel Odom, Shemis Hapchim Ira L'Toiva. The Goyin brings a Chazal, who say, that the greatest joy the human being could ever experience is Shnoisim Shel Odom, Shemis Hapchim Ira. May Ra is something that was terrible, and it's mishapach l'toiva, and it is transformed into the most wonderful thing, and that's the word vahaya. Haya means it's the greatest tragedy took place, what I loved most has been taken from me, it's gone, it's of the past. When I put the vav to it, it's brought back. And that's the biggest simcha. But you have to understand where the Vilna Gaon says this. Are you following? Are you right? I'm enjoying it very much. Neville Nagain. Not myself, I mean Neville Nagain. Listen to in which context he's saying this. And here he doesn't even explain this. He just left it for us to do. But listen to where this is. In the 6 days of gracious, and the 6 days of creation, there's only one place, there's only in one context where we find that the letter Vav comes and changes something from the past and gives it the hope for the future. In the whole six, remember, the story of the creation of this world, the 6 days of creation, it has everything of this world in it. It's, this world is a world that's messed up, it's stuck in time, it's messed up, it's man. But in the story of the unfolding of a physical world that exists in, according to the rules and regulations of time, there's one exception in the story of creation, where something that was, and it was supposed to be finished, is given the magic vav, ahipoch, the vav that transforms that which was and was lost and done and ended, and it restores and renews it. It starts it again. V'hoyu la'aisos l'mayadim u'liyomim u'lishonim v'hoyu l'ma'ariz b'rikia shemayim l'horer l'aretz. In the story of the creation of the sun and the moon. V'hoyu la'aisos l'mayadim. V'hoyu and v'hoyu is the same thing. Just in the plural. That the vav of v'hoyu, and they will be the sun and the moon to establish the days and the years, and to establish the seasons and the holidays and so on, the times of the year. This comes out according to the Gra, an absolutely amazing thing. Comes out with what's going on over here. Listen, what the Gra is teaching us is, that the Ma'iris Harakia, the luminaries in the heavens, the sun and the moon, particularly the moon, as we'll see, are different from anything else in the world. Because whatever exists, everything else that exists in the world, is stuck in the past and the future. or it's a dream or hope that something that might be. But the sun that shines during the day, not at night, and shuv zareach the next day, and it comes back, even though it was of the past, it's gone, it returns the next day. And the moon. So the moon, the light of the moon is growing stronger and brighter until the middle of the month. The light of the moon is growing stronger, and afterwards it's parches v'harlech, and afterwards it's less and less and less until it's nelam, until it's gone. Until the light of the moon is mamash gone. And you know that the Jewish people are compared to the moon. Shem asidim l'schadish k'maisa. That the Jewish people are going to be renewed like the Levona, like the moon. So the moon goes through that phase where it diminishes. It's first it's growing, and then it's weaker and weaker until it's nelam, until it's mamish, not there. And then afterwards it comes, it returns, even though it's hoya, it was. And it's something that, it's just of the past. But the moon contains within it the mystery of the transformation in the word vahoyu or vahoya, that which was and was finished and lost and dark and ended comes back. So the order of creation is as follows. First Hashem says, Vayom Elokim, Yehi Or, not with a vav, Yehi Or. Let there be light. There will be light. There will be light. But then the Torah says, Vayihi Or, and Vayihi means always something which is sad. Vayihi always means that it's gone, it's disappeared, it's not here anymore. Hashem made it, and then it's no longer here, or it's just something, it's not here anymore. Vayihi Or, it's Neshapech Olamo. And that means the past, that means tsar, means anguish. And then the end is Vahoyu. Vahoyu Lama Iris Berkiah Hashemayim. So what does the Vahoyu tell you? What does the Vahoyu mean? So the Vahoyu means those things in life that I thought were finished, they're gone. The moon has that koach of renewal, of something that was supposed to be. Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. And after the Vayehi, it's changed with Vahoyu Lamaris Berkiah Hashemayim. The rest of creation, it lives either in the word Yehi or Haya. It will be, or it once was. But never, ever do you have that it once was, it was no longer, and then it is again. All of creation is stuck in the past and the future, in that realm of non-existence. But the Levona, the moon, exists in a realm that transcends the rules that confine all the rest of physical life. Mimele, you understand, Chazal say, Psikta. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lo nivra l'ha'ir, ela gal galachama bilvad. Yehi ma'aris ma'aris k'siv without a vav. Im kein, lo menivris levana. Chazal ask, if the sun was given in order to give us light, then what's the purpose of the moon? So Chazal answered, why was the moon created? Lekadish bar roshei chadoshim b'roshei shonim osa yereach l'moadim, it says in Pasuk. That the singular purpose of the moon, it has other things you could do with it, but the reason it was created, Chazal say, was to establish the new month, to establish the new year, to establish the Yom Tovim, a Pesach, a Sukkis, a Shavuos, a Sukkis, a Tu B'Av, a Tu B'Shvat. And the reason for that is as follows. Based upon what we're learning, I think it's very clear. In the Maral Svarim, we find that Shabbos is, he speaks about Shabbos being main olam haba. Like Chazal say, that Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. But Yontiv is a taste of Yemos HaMashiach, the days of Mashiach. Yontiv is me'ein yimayis ha-Mashiach. It's a taste of the time of Mashiach. Why is that? All of history, all that the Jewish people have ever been through. My children are always asking me this. You know, I talk to them about the tzaddikim and about this and that. So they always have the same question. Why are you always telling us about the Baal Shem Tov and about this and about that? How can we never see this stuff now? These are all things like, you know, that used to be. How about a good miracle? What about something now? It's always like, you know, all these Sipurim Isis from long ago. We're waiting for Mashiach. Because Mashiach means, Mashiach, the days of Mashiach means all that once was and seems to have disappeared, all that was ended, that was destroyed, all that was taken, all of our brothers and sisters, parents and grandparents who were killed, all that was taken is going to be given back. It's going to be renewed like the moon. After it was gone, it's going to shine again. Vayihi l'ma'ariz b'rkei ha'shamayim. Vayihi l'ma'ariz b'rkei ha'shamayim. If the moon was established for the purpose of Yontiv, if the moon was created in order that we should be able to have a Yontiv, to have a Rosh Chodesh and to have a Yontiv, in this miserable world of the past memories and of future hopes that we don't see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us a little bit of a taste in Olam Hazeh of Yemei HaMashiach. And those are the Yom Tovim. Every Yontiv is a little bit of the Vav HaHipuch that takes the Hoya and to makes it V'Hoya. And if you're a Jew that sits and prepares for a Pesach, if you really prepare for a Pesach, if you really prepare for a Purim, for a Chanukah, then it's not something that, it's something that comes back to you. It's again, it's here, a little, you feel its presence, its power, its energy, and in this form, of course it's here. We're told that it's here, mamish. In other words, every yontiv is me'ein, a taste of what's going to be with the coming of Mashiach, when all that was taken from us will be given back. And every yontiv means it's not ha-Pesach, it's not ha-Yitzias Mitzrayim, you think Yitzias Mitzrayim ended? It's happening now. Now, va'ata, eis l'kol chefetz tachas ha-shamayim. The first mitzvah of the Torah that the Jews were given when Golus ended in Mitzrayim, the beginning of the world of Torah, was the mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon, of Kiddush HaChodesh. Because the Yomim Tovim, the power of the moon, the restoration, the renewal of the moon, is that promise, is that power that exists even in this world of Olam Hazeh, where there could be a tikkun for the kilkul of Zman. Where there's a little bit on each yontiv, but the vav takes the hoya and makes it into v'hoya. V'hoyisa achsameya. Which is a taste of the end of time of Mashiach, where all the hoyas are going to become v'hoyas. Where all that was is going to be again. Every yontiv does that. And that's the Indian of Kiddush HaChodesh, of the Kviyas HaMayadim, of the establishing the power of the Jewish people over Zman Lehashon of Zman. That we have the power in our hands to be Mesak and Kilkul Hazman. So therefore, the second case, the end, the redemption, begins with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. The beginning of Torah, which is our redemption. Torah gives us the ability to live now, to enjoy, to be in a meaningful moment, to have control over time. Not to be lost and subjected to the past and dreaming of the future, but to live. How does Torah begin? In Mitzrayim, with the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, to take hold of time. Change the Hoya into V'Hoya. Mimeli, understand, that's the holy name of Tu B'Shvat. That's the holy name of Tu B'Shvat. I have to be makatsa to say this very briefly. Tu B'Shvat, when the moon is whole, in the winter, before Adam and Chava sinned, before the sin of Adam and Chava, the Tzuras HaAdam, Kedem HaChay, the human being before the sin, ate fruit. He was commanded to eat fruit. We call Eitz Hagan. We call Eitz Hagan. Achal Toichel The Tzuras HaAdam was nourished by fruit before the sin, before man's decline. The Tzuras HaAdam was nourished, was enlivened with the Peros HaIlon, with the fruit of the trees. The Tzuras HaAdam, the image of man, after the chait, after the sin, the Tzuras HaAdam achar chait. Kais v'darda tatzmiach lach, v'chalta es esev hasada. After the chait, Hashem tells man to eat the grass of the field. The Tzuras HaAdam Koidem HaChait is the one who eats fruits. The Tzuras HaAdam Acher HaChait, I don't want to say, if I say vegetarian, you know, I can get in trouble if I take this. The Tzuras HaAdam Acher HaChait is the one who eats the Esav HaSodah like an animal. What's the difference between Eitzim, between Peros? Tu B'Shvat Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon. Shona for Peros, not for Yerokos, not for peas and asparagus and stuff like that. Lo aleinu. And even if you put into a kugel, it's not masakin it, you know. Some people try to put those things into kugels and still it's not masakin it. What's the difference between Peros and Yerokos? That the Tzuras HaAdam Koidem HaChait is that he eats fruit, and the Tzuras HaAdam Acher HaChait is Esav HaSodah, the grass of the field. The difference is, and here's an Arichas, I don't have time. A fruit-bearing tree lives in Atta, now. It lives now. Why? Because you never eat the tree, you only eat the fruit of the tree. The tree lives. It lives in the present, always. It's alive now. It lives. It could be that it's the winter and it's not shining, it's not glowing, it's not excited. But you never eat. You don't eat the eights. You don't eat the eights for the pears. You eat the pears. But it's the same tree. Creates others, hador bilono, you know, mishana lishana, that it lives on the tree. That's meant, it is, it always is. After you take off the peiros of the tree, and the tree is bare, and now it's winter, so it enters into the realm of Hoya, and you think that it's gone, it's finished, there's no more fruit, and then something happens, the most wondrous and joyous thing is Vihoya, the new fruit. It's Me'ein, it's a Bechina of the taste of Yemais HaMashiach, of the Tikkun of the Kilkel HaZman, where that which once was will be. And it was never lost, it only, you only thought that it was gone. But the eighth, the tree is chai v'kayim. Masha'enu kein, this is not the same when it comes to the eighth of HaSodah. Vegetables, it means vegetables that I eat it, it's gone. I have to replant the whole thing, it's finished. The tree is the thing, it is the vegetable, that's all there is, and it's gone. It's taka gone. I could think back. Wasn't it wonderful? It was wonderful, but it's not going to be again. I have to go out and plant some new stuff. But it's gone. So Tu B'Shvat means the simcha, the joy of Tu B'Shvat is a taste of the end of time. When the peiros ha'ilon from the mysterious tree from Eitz HaChaim. Tu B'Shvat means all that was taken during the winter of this world and each person's own personal winters. All the difficulties that the Jewish people have lived through and every Jew has suffered through. All those winters that really Hashem shows us that all the time the trees were alive, they were alive. You just didn't see, didn't understand. And everything that we thought was taken from us is gone and will never will be. So it will be brought back, V'Hoya. And all of that is in the first pasuk of Tehillim, which it struck me, just think about the first pasuk of Tehillim, the first pasuk of Tehillim is summarizing this entire discussion. The first pasuk of Tehillim, I don't even know if I'm going to bother translating it. You look it up yourself. The pasuk says, Ashrei ha'ish asher lo holach ba'atzas rishoyim. Fortunate is the person who hasn't walked in the counsel of the wicked. Shelo holach ba'atzas rishoyim. B'derech ha'toyim lo yomad. Fortunate is the person who didn't stand in the path of the of the chatoim of the sinners. Of a Moshev Leitzim Lo Yoshev, and the person fortunate is the one who didn't sit among scoffers. Fortunate is the person who's not stuck in those things, in those places, in those ways. What's the choice that you have? Kim Besoiris Hashem Cheftzo. Eis L'kol Chefetz. Besoiris Hashem Cheftzo. The only person who can say Ashrei, the only person who fits into Ashrei, who is truly, truly enriched and happy, is ki b'saros Hashem cheftzo u'b'saroso yege yoimum v'layla, without stop. Yoimum v'layla, every moment. Yoimum v'layla. I once graduated. In 1923, I have a degree from Oklahoma State. B'saroso yege yoimum v'layla. Yomam Velayla means Ato, now. Not it once was, it will be. Torah means now. And then what does the Torah say? What does Dovid HaMelech say? Vahoya ke'etz vahoya. Everything changes now from the past. Vahoya. And you will be. Ke'etz shosul al palge mayim. Like a tree that is firmly planted upon the moist, the moist and fertile soil, the waters. Asher pirio yitain bi'ito. It's awful. That the fruit will be given bi'ito, in its ace, in its appointed season. You will give fruit. Bi'ito. V'ahoya ke'et shosol pal gemayim. Asher pirio yitain bi'ito. V'alehu lo yibol. And the leaves will never ever wither and die. The kol asher yaseh yatzliach, and all that you will do will prosper, will be successful. That's how David Melch begins Tehillim. That's how David Melch Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. That's the one who never died. That's the one who's always Chai V'Kayim. The one who always was alive, and always was, and the Tehillim, who's always with us, the Baal of Tehillim, the Nims Mis Yisrael, who sings to us and encourages us and tells us, V'hoi ke'et shosa pal gemayim, asher piryo yitain v'ito, v'olei Elohi bo kol asher yaseh yatzliach.
That's the meaning of Tu B'Shvat. That's the meaning of Tu B'Shvat. Mimele, you understand that we have a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim, there's a Tefillah from the Bnei Yisrael. We have a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim to daven for an Esrog on Tu B'Shvat. To daven that the coming year should have a beautiful Esrog. Beautiful Esrog means everything. It doesn't just mean a beautiful Esrog. It means a good Shidduch. It's a good parnasa. The esrog, we're told, is the only tree where the fruit and the tree have the same taste. That's the end of time. But the tree will never die. The tree will mamish taste the same as the fruit. Then there won't be any chilukim, there won't be any disappearing acts. There won't be any thoughts, oh, I lost something. Never, ever. It will always bear fruit. And the tree itself will be fruitful. The tree itself will taste like the, will taste the same as the fruit. Eitz of Epir Yoshovim. I told you a few times a story. I'm just going to tell very much b'kitzer. I have to be someplace. I had to be someplace. Vayihi is a lashon tsar. Vahoya is a lashon simcha. I'm just going to tell you now b'kitzer, just to remind you of the ma'aseh. But when you, that if you think over this Torah that we learned tonight and you work it out, hopefully you prove it and understand it. So then, to add to the end of it, this ma'aseh, that you must know and you remember, but just to put the story there. The Holy Rebbe Ber, Psucha Ber from Radishitz, the Saba Kedisha from Radishitz, there was a ma'aseh you do, it's a very well-known ma'aseh that he went someplace. Without going into all the dramatic protim, that he was someplace to spend the night in a certain inn. He couldn't sleep. And the next morning he asked the innkeeper, was there ever a tzaddik here in this place? And the innkeeper said, I don't recall such a thing. I think you're our first. So he said, no, you must remember, there was once a tzaddik in this place. So the innkeeper thought, and he remembered him. He was a child. He remembered him many, many years before. Maybe he was a child, but years before, he remembers that the Holy Rebbe, the Chayzer from Lublin, was there, in that place. His father was running the inn, the Chayzer from Lublin, the seer of Lublin, was there. So the Rebbe Bear asked him, do you remember, did the Chayzer leave a present? Did the Chayzer give you any gift? So he said, I remember that he gave my father something because he was grateful to my father. I remember that he gave my... So the Chayzer said, the Rebbe Bear said, tell me, is it that clock over there? So he said, that's right, it's that clock. And how did the Rebbe know? So the Rebbe Bear from others had said, because all clocks of the world cause sadness and misery. Because all clocks of the world remind a person of how much of his life has been lost and how much is missing. It reminds a person of all that was and no longer is, and no longer can be. But the clock of the Chayzer from Lublin, is Mamish Besimchis, joy. It tells of the coming of Mashiach. As soon as it's going to be the coming of Mashiach. It's the same, to us it would sound like the same tic-tac. But the Rebbe Rebbe from Adler says he heard in the clock of the Chayzer that it sings with Simcha. Because the Chayzer lived in such a way. All Chola Sheyase Yasliach. All that he had was alive. All that he had was alive. Kadosh Baruch should help us that we should be able to hear some of that. Especially come to Tu B'Shvat. We should be zoiche to bear good fruit for the Rebbeinu Shlom. That we should be zoiche to see Paris in our lives soon. With panosa, with shiduchim, with shalom bayis, with health, with children, with chol inyonim, begashim erus, begashim yisav aruch nis. We should be zoiche mitz Hashem for the gula hasida. And Hashem promised even those trees that didn't bear any fruit in this world, all the ilonei srak are going to bear fruit. We should be zoiche to see it soon. Amen.